This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're so
Multiverse of Madness.
Excited to have you, legend of the queer community, Channing Nicholas.
Legend of all communities.
Legend of all communities.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like remember, but we first talked
scary.
On the phone.
Yeah.
Is it?
No. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll tell you the last time that happened to me. But go.
Okay. What year was that?
20... We lived in New 14? York that summer.
2014.
It was like 2014 or 2013. I was like interning for like we had a mutual friend.
I
had nothing.
We knew a mutual person.
Yeah. And yeah. I was doing like basically a fake internship.
Yes.
Like there was nothing really for me to
do. Oh my God, that's you.
Yeah. But they were like, oh.
Wait,
like,
we met again then after that.
Well, what are you talking about? At Gorgeous Gorgeous?
Is that where?
We met because you're friends with Fran Tirado.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And so
Fran is the dot that connects the entire
The web.
Gay world.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
God bless her.
Yeah,
but yeah, we did meet in person that one time.
Yeah.
But it
That's
feels
so
like,
funny.
Yeah, I think it made like
what
your,
did I tell you?
You were trying. It was it's so cute to think about. You were interested in like starting a podcast at the time.
I was.
Yeah.
Oh, because I didn't give you a reading.
No,
you were like helping me.
You had told me this is why I feel so dumb. Like, we were talking about. You were like, I think I want to start this podcast and like just make this more accessible to people.
Right.
And then I didn't really help you. I was so depressed that summer, but it's okay.
You were like 20.
Yeah,
she was being 21.
And we were working on the first songs like that Muna would put out.
Yep. Yes, right.
And you were like, I'll give you a reading, like you and your partner.
Yeah.
Like whenever.
Did I ever?
Well, I never took you up on it.
Why?
Well, now here we are.
I don't know.
Oh my
just
God.
Being a goofball, and then now, and then and then you got pretty busy.
I got busy.
Yeah.
We all got busy.
Yeah.
You guys are pretty busy too.
Yeah. I know.
Thank the Lord.
So 10 years later.
Wow.
Here we are.
That's wild.
Paths crossed yet again.
That was when I first met my wife.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
How did y'all meet?
We met on the job, so to speak.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like you gave a reading?
Or similar
fields? I didn't give a reading. I was actually teaching yoga at the time.
Cool.
Oh. Sexy.
Yeah.
That's not really. It gave me a heart attack. I was like, I've never dated a student before. She wasn't really a student. I taught her a couple of privates. And she was living in New York
absolutely
and I was living
private.
In LA.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's
and
hot.
I like
nothing you can do about it.
I like told off some man that was walking into the place where I was teaching her in the hotel and that was it.
She loved it.
I basically kicked him out of the room that we were in. She was like, what?
Yeah,
cool. Hell yeah.
She's like, who actually are you?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then y'all have been together for...
Yeah. I mean, we've been married for 9 years.
Cool.
Oh my God. Is that true? We got married in 2015. We met in 2014.
Okay.
So this is our 10-year meeting anniversary in May.
I'm like, was that the year that it became legal to get
2015?
Married?
It was the year before, I think. Was it 2014?
I think it was 20. When we graduated was when it was, or 20, either, I think 2015. Because it was like, wow, everything's changing.
I think 2014 because it was the school year.
I think it was 2014.
Because I was in San Francisco.
I was on. I was in the cast.
Oh, that's so cool.
Wouldn't it be 14? Like, this sounds.
I'm open to being very wrong.
I think, and then we graduated that, like, spring. You know? Why is school like that? You know what I mean? Like, why is school?
Obergefell versus Hodges, 2015. Mm. Landmark decision of the Supreme Court of the United States, which ruled that fundamental right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples by both due process clause. See, this is a learning podcast.
Oh, that's right. It was 2015 because of the... I'm remembering the astrology of it now.
Decided June. It was decided in Pride, yeah. June 26th.
Yeah. The astrology of it was that Jupiter and Venus were coming together... I think, and it was this beautiful conjunction that you could see at night. And Venus is the planet of marriage and love and affection and sweetness and all of that. And Jupiter is the planet of like luck and abundance. And the fact that it, and also Venus symbolizes women and LGBTQ folks. And so it was such like a lucky combination. And the fact that it was about marriage equality, and both of the planets are also very much about justice and like law and morality. Mm. And so the fact that they came together at that time was really astrologically, you know, like spectacular.
Is that how you, when you think about things in your life, that's how you,
that's
like unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Not really. It's kind of, it's just like, you know, do you think in music sometimes?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think in meals that we've eaten.
Meals.
Yeah, that's how we, I mean, kind of, how do you remember a date on tour?
Yeah, gorgeous meals.
A meal.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's because the show becomes kind of the same, you know?
It's like anything, you can, I'm sure it's the same. Any creative pursuit can kind of like fade.
Yeah.
Into
the
background of your life when it, as it becomes more like normalized and professionalized.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think there's definitely, we do mark time by like, we were on tour. What show were we playing? Like
It's both.
We do mark time that way. But
I'm always trying to clock what's happening in the sky. How is it showing up for us collectively, personally, so that I can learn the next time it happens, what I could be like scoping out.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Like what could I expect, or what kind of vibe is it?
Yeah.
When did you first start like, connecting the dots, so to speak? Like, was this something that played a big role in your childhood?
Yeah, I was introduced to it when I was like 12.
Cool.
When I got my first reading.
By who?
So my dad was on his third wife, family iteration, and his new mother-in-law was a Reiki master.
Whoa.
And all of her friends were like psychics and astrologers. And so she sent us all to get a family astrology reading.
Whoa.
And I was just like stunned by how resonant the thing was that this person was doing.
Yeah.
But I'd never encountered it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she had written a book and my dad got me that book and it was my beginning.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah. And like, do you remember when you first started learning astrology, if it was always like, when I hear you talk about it, it is very much this like visualization of like we are beings on a certain planet that's like in a constellation of other planets. Like, was that always kind of how you thought about it? Like the relationships between these energies that are moving?
I think of astrology as a mirror.
Mm. Okay.
Right. So I think it gives us a reflection. What astrology is, it is an evaluation of the quality of a certain moment in time.
Whoa. Okay.
So our meeting here, this podcast has its own chart. Right?
Yeah.
Like there's a quality of time that is occurring right now. Huh. And so we're living that out. So the quality of time that was present in the exact time and location when you were born is you.
Yeah.
You are one manifestation of that quality of time. Now, if somebody was born in the same location at the same time as you, then they will have the same chart as you. And they will also be an amulet of that time, but they'll express it slightly differently, right?
Yeah.
You're different people.
Yeah.
But you're still the same qualities of time captured in two different ways.
Yeah, totally.
And so everything, we're all this like little concentration of that moment of time.
Yeah.
And so we get to, I think we get free will within that context, but we have a set of conditions we're born with if you look at your life through an astrological context or any moment through an astrological context.
When you met your partner, did you do their chart like after?
No, I didn't. I refused them.
Whoa.
That's probably good, I would imagine.
I glanced at it and I was like, oh, you're just like this with everybody. Like, she has such a charming chart that I was like, oh, okay. But I sent her to my teacher.
Well,
cool.
Said, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, how did you find your teacher? Like,
My teacher's Demetra George. She no longer allows me to study with her one to one, but I still read her books and take her courses. Uh-huh. But she is just like an omnipresent, you know, like master of the tradition. So any astrologer should know her name.
Okay.
And if they don't yet, they immediately go and research her. She is an encyclopedic, like, powerhouse. Like, you could ask, because you, in order to really be an astrologer, you have to be a historian and a mythologist.
Yeah.
And sometimes a mathematician.
Yeah.
I'm not, absolutely not one. But she, you can ask her about any, like, area of history in the, like, ancient world where we think of, like, my Western astrology coming from. And she can tell you, she'll just, like, open up a file in her mind.
Right.
And, like an accordion, and then just, like, open it up and be like, well, and just go through, like, the religious, the political, the, like, the conditions, the timing, the ways in which people were thinking and working and, like, living, and explain, like, one aspect of a question that you asked.
Holy
so
shit.
She's just, like, she's a phenomenal resource and a profoundly incredible teacher.
Yeah.
Like, she just knows how to teach.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough to study with her privately for a while. But yeah, I don't know. I can't even remember when I encountered her work. She's just always been there.
Yeah.
You know.
And when you were studying with her, like, have you always...
I was studying with her when you and I first met, that first phone call 10 years ago.
That's cool.
Like, that's when I was doing my one-on-ones with her.
Wow. And so at that time, I think you already had, like, aspirations of, like, I'm going to do this full time.
I mean, at that time, I was writing horoscopes all the time and writing essays, and all of that was starting to gain a lot of traction, I think, at that moment.
Yeah.
The gaze had picked me up.
Well, because you also very much are a writer. It's like in the same way that some people, I just feel like you have a gift for, like, the translation of this for.
I like a young kind of mindset about things. It seems like very connected to, like, this larger historical tradition involving, like, symbolism and ritual and, like, the ways in which archetypes play out in our lives. Like,
I mean, like, Jung is a particular character in the story of astrology because we actually lost our astrological knowledge to a huge extent.
Yeah.
So astrology has been around for thousands of years. And in the West, what happened is a little thing called Christianity.
Right.
Yep.
And so it had to, like, go underground and we literally lost the physical texts, or they were buried inside of basements and kept and not really able to be out in daylight. And so around the, like, beginning of the 1900s, people like Alan Leo kind of created a new astrology.
Mm.
And Jung ended up becoming a central part of that, what we call modern astrology. Yeah. And that's incredibly different than traditional astrology.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And so it's like, it's like astrology is like this thing, this energy that refuses to fully go away.
Yeah.
But it will be suppressed in certain places for long periods of time, but it will keep springing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, like, does whatever it needs to do to survive, think. And so one of the iterations of it was, I think, Jung's, like, take on things, because Jung didn't believe in astrology. And someone was like, well, why don't you, maybe it was himself.
Mm.
I think he was like, well, maybe I should learn it.
Study it, yeah.
And then he was like, oh, this has something. And so then he put his take on it.
Yeah.
Which is the chart, the whole chart is you.
Yeah.
Kind of like the whole dream is you.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
That's very different than traditional astrology. Mm-hmm. That's a huge departure from what had been practiced for thousands of years. And so then modern astrologers, because they didn't have access also to the old way of doing it, were like, great. And they they created this new, beautiful, really profound system. I don't work necessarily like that. I used to, because that's how we all, if you're like my age, that's how you learned, because we didn't have access to the old stuff.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But for the past like 20 years, people like Demetra George, and they go back and they still are in the process of translating these old, old texts. Anyways, they put together this archive of old, and they revived the old tradition.
Wow.
And so now we've got all of this astrology.
Yeah.
We have the modern, we have the what we call traditional astrology.
Can you give me like a distill, like really dumbed down, like what is traditional astrology?
Yeah, traditional astrology is focusing on the seven visible planets because that's what we knew forever until very recently.
Okay.
And so there's this very elegant system that you can, it's kind of like this kaleidoscope. Like you can take it this way and be like, oh, this explains the signs. And you can take it this way and you're like, oh, that explains the houses. And then this way, and that explains the aspects. And it's this beautiful, holistic way of seeing the universe. And if you think of a lot of ways in which we function, like you'll see seven in a lot of different religious texts on the seventh day, like so we have 7 days in a week, like they all connect to one of those seven planets. And so modern astrology adds the three modern planets and Chiron and blah, 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 and assigns them different things. And so traditional astrology stays within those seven, although we work with the other new points and add them on, but we stay with the structure of these seven and work within this kind of formula of understanding qualities and potentials of each planet, because in this system, they do well in some signs and not well in other signs for specific reasons because of the kind of way in which the whole thing is constructed.
Right.
So modern astrology takes all the 10 planets now and then lays them out over the signs in a different way. And so it's just a different way of looking at things.
Interesting.
Does that make
sense? So would you have a different sign? Like would your chart
No.
Yeah, that was my question.
Or it's more the interpretation of
There's something called sidereal astrology and tropical astrology. So Western astrology is
we're learning
tropical.
A lot. Yeah, yeah. It's good.
Sidereal is what Indian astrology uses.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They go by the constellations.
Okay.
And we go by the seasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So every year a silly article will come out. This year NPR put out some
video. Sign is wrong.
Yeah, your sign's wrong. That's what I just don't know anything they're talking about.
That is like one of the number
I've heard that
the haters say.
Yeah. We wrote a couple articles about it. So if you want to search chani.com for the
we'll put a link.
put a link. Wait. We'll have them do that for sure.
So
I've always wanted to do that.
In Indian astrology and in Vedic astrology, they stayed with the constellations.
Okay.
And in Western astrology, we stayed with the equinoxes and the solstices. So those points of space, right? And so it's called the precession of the equinox. What happened is they used to be aligned when astrology was created. The spring equinox was 0 degrees of Aries, was that beginning of the constellation.
Okay.
Because we got the constellations and their meanings and the zodiac, it used to all be the same thing, and the equinoxes and the solstices. But then it moves slightly, a little tiny bit every year. And so over the course of a couple thousand years, it's different. It's varied now.
Yeah.
So if you get an astrology reading by a Vedic astrologer or someone who studies Indian astrology, they will most likely tell you you've got some different signs than what you're used to hearing in Western astrology.
Whoa.
It's not wrong. They're both beautiful systems. They're both incredible wealths of knowledge. It's just different ways of looking at the same quality of time.
Right.
Let me start by saying this show, Gaiotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now? Speaking of BetterHelp.
Not good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, you know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently. And
absolutely,
it's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life, or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know?
We are very pro therapy as a band.
Hell
and
yeah.
I'm also pro like getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was like the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend of ours yeah. who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp as an individual that travels quite a bit and mm-hmm. needed to be able to do it over the phone. And yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date and mm-hmm. it makes you feel very nervous and you do have to find the right person and mm-hmm. BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/chaotic today and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/chaotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go.
Please
listen to Chaotic. Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's almost like if people say like astrology is Joe's face.
No, you're gonna need a nap after this.
No, Joe's a sponge.
It's kind of like when we went to the Magic Castle.
I'm like closing my eyes. I'm like, don't pay attention to anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
We're literally all like,
we're gonna understand. I'm gonna understand what you're saying.
ADHD. It's ADHD off.
I'm like, shut up, brain.
No, but here's what I'm thinking.
I'm on good ADD behavior today.
Like, you know how math is like made up?
Yeah.
It's like,
thank you for saying
same,
that.
In
for
the
sure.
same way, like, well, it's yeah. just a, it's a, it's all like a way of understanding.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, math, you can do the same equations and get the same results. Mm-hmm. And so astrology tries to see if that's true. So one of the longest standing scientific experiments known in written history is people looking at and recording when the planets rose and fell and like set, rose and set in the night and what the qualities were when comets came and went, what the moon looked like.
Right.
It's like a 700-year, I think, document of tablets
yeah.
from
wow.
from the ancient world.
Yeah, holy shit.
From, anyways, it's the longest standing scientific document. And it was all being like, oh, well, this is what happened in the sky and this is what happened on Earth.
Yeah.
So it's before anything that we think of as astrology.
Have you ever been to Newgrange?
No.
Sorry. No.
Kitty's
laughing.
Go ahead, Kitty.
But that's all solstice points.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right? So we erected, you know, humans around the world erected impossible works of art and worship.
Yeah.
Because that's where the sun would be at these pivotal moments.
Right.
Because our life depended on what the sun was doing because we needed to grow food and eat it. And also we needed the sky. If you're, you know, thinking about populations that could see the sky, it tells you where you are in time and space. It tells you what season you're in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, only certain constellations will be on the horizon when sun sets in a certain season.
Yeah.
So the constellations were our map of for survival.
Right.
For so long.
Yeah.
Like forever until very recently.
Can you see the sky where you live? Like, can you?
Well, I'm in
you
LA.
Know what I mean. Come on.
I'm in LA.
Yeah.
I can see the brightest things.
Yeah. So yeah. Totally.
Does that affect you?
It affects all of us.
Yeah.
It's amazing to be in places where, I mean, this is not an interesting point. Sorry.
But it's nice to be able to see the
like,
sky.
When you travel to places where there is, I was recently in a place where there was truly like zero light pollution for miles and miles and
wow.
miles. It was
crazy.
Really, really intense and strange. Like,
yeah.
It did feel
when
spiritual.
When you see the layers of stars.
I just could not, it was like beyond a Joshua tree. It was like,
right.
It was deeper than, I mean, it was really crazy. Like,
yeah.
For anybody not living in LA that just heard that reference, sorry, Joshua Tree is where we go to see the sky.
Yeah. And even there, it's like you still have light pollution.
Totally, because there's a million houses and everyone's trying to see the sky.
Yeah.
But also party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Shout out.
Humans are horrible.
Yeah. That's for sure. God.
But yeah, and that, I mean, I think not knowing true darkness is something that is very like obvious in terms of its manifestation because we don't know mystery.
Yeah.
We've lost our connection to the healing power of the dark.
Yeah.
There's this podcast with this guy there's this guy that I was listening to on some podcast who like started walking at night. Like he would just wake up in the middle of the night and just go, and he like lived in like darkness and he would just go out for these long walks. Mm. And it was like this whole, he wrote some book. I'm sorry, I can't remember it. But it was this whole process of like.
Some guy.
Knowing and trusting his ability to move through the dark. Now, obviously, a guy can do that.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. That was literally.
But in a perfect world, like the symbolic healing of being able to, you know, traverse through darkness and be okay.
We would just go in a group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You'd have large groups
with weapons. Exactly.
Big sticks. Yeah. I was going to say. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Me and 10 stone butches.
Men and their ability to go on spiritual pursuits.
It really, it kind of, I was talking to someone yesterday who had a brother who's so like hiking the Appalachians alone. And I was just like, I would never do that.
No, never. Right.
For about 18,000 different reasons. Yeah. Like, yeah. I can just name them. I can name six. Like,
it's like I'm so
scared.
Jealous.
Yeah,
I'm so jealous. I have a question.
Yeah, yeah.
This could be a stupid question. Mm. Where does the actual like information about each sign come from? Because it's like if this is all
that's a great question.
But just where? Who said that?
Who said that?
Yeah. So it's over the course of long periods of time. The ways in which we think about signs now is very different. If you go back and read like old texts that are even like, 700 years old, mm-hmm. which isn't that old, they'll talk about signs in a really different way. They're like, likely to catch syphilis.
Amazing.
Hey.
Amazing. Likely to be eaten alive by a wild pack of dogs.
Yeah, like, you can infer that in different ways.
It's clumsy or like sexually promiscuous.
Yeah, totally.
Got it. Yeah.
A lot of times, like, there's ways in which the signs are informed by the constellations they're related to.
Yeah.
And the constellations are what we call fixed stars.
Okay.
And so fixed stars have a nature to them. They're also like a whole other kind of level of astrology. And then there's also the planet that rules that sign.
Okay.
And the quality and the nature of that planet.
Is the quality and the nature based on like its relationship to Earth?
Yeah. Okay. You could say that in the most simple way. It's like the way in which it visually appears, the way in which its orbit functions. So like Venus and Jupiter are the brightest planets.
Okay.
And that's why they're equated with good.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And Mars goes red.
So it's very like instinctual. Like
basic. Yeah. Like once you start breaking it down, you're like, oh yeah, that just makes sense.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Right.
Mars is red. And so that's like kind of alarming.
Yeah.
Red is when you're, you get flushed. So you could be like excited in fun ways, but also like frustrated, angry.
Yeah.
It's like, there's like, it's heated, right? Uh-huh. And so heatedness is good, but you can't maintain it. It like can burn you. Yeah. And so plants that are related to Mars are spiky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're desert plants. They're dry. They're hot. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the nature of Mars gets then related to the signs that it rules.
Well,
right. And so, and Venus is, this bright, beautiful, when at certain points of its orbit, it's just like so incredible. If you see it in the morning as a morning star, it will be like, it's like a literal diamond in the sky.
Yeah.
And then when it's with Jupiter, because they're the two brightest planets, if they're in a situation where they're far enough away from the sun, the two of them together is just like, it's like gobsmacking to see that kind of light in the sky that's not a star. It's moving. And so, again, humans are tracking the ways in which against the landscape of fixed stars, which are the band of the constellation, these planets are moving through them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking to see like the quality of what happens on Earth when this planet does this thing.
Wow.
And so over recording it for long periods of time, like lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, they come up with a general sense of what each of those things represent.
It kind of reminds me of like the wisdom of like the community. Like we think about that in terms of like music and art. I really do believe in like the wisdom of like a large group of people to kind of like feel out the quality of something, you know, over time. It's like, but it also makes me think about when I was learning, my friend who taught me tarot, she was like, all of these cards like have, you know, history and like you can look the meanings up online. But if you sit with the cards, that's like the best way for you to learn the deck because you're going to get your own messages about it. So I guess I'm wondering, like, does it ever happen where like you're getting a really strong intuition about like an astrological event or a planet that maybe feels not in contradiction, but like a new element of like astrological,
like an alternative perspective
knowledge?
I think like what I, you know, I look at, because I, you know, I talk about like the year before we live it, right? So I've got to be like, okay, what are these things and how might they manifest? How have they manifested in the past? What might that mean for this present moment? And like, you can't quite, you can kind of see it like an outline, but you don't know how it's actually going to crystallize until you live it out. And so I think like all astrologers, I'm always like, well, this is the landscape. And then you live it out and you're like, oh my God, that is the, that is a wild synchronicity or like crystallization of that formation. And each time you witness that, you like learn a little bit more. But I don't know. I don't know if I see things. I'm really, I'm a deep traditionalist. Like I really like when your friend's saying that, I'm like, yes, but I really want you to know the history of the cards.
Totally.
I want you to go off, but I want you to know what it's from.
There's the quote. It's the quote. Oh, fuck me.
Cool. I fucking remember.
A man did say it. It's like,
sorry for that, man.
Fuck, I'm going to butcher this. Yeah, but it's like, you can only like, you can only break the rules like
once you have learned them.
Is it? Oh yeah, it is Picasso. And Tom.
By the way, a man and a molester.
Yeah,
thank you.
You piece of shit.
I'm sorry. Fuck me.
It's a good one.
He spat.
Yeah, that was totally spat.
He spat. Yeah.
That is the truth. I like that too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's also like you can only write once you've learned to read, like as a child, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
once you and internalize the knowledge, you can,
yeah,
but I will say that tarot is like very new,
yeah, because it was, wasn't it invented as like a kind of like a party game?
Well, it's all a game, you know, like I think it's a deck of cards, it's a fucking game,
yeah,
but it's potent and powerful,
yeah, yeah.
But
if you look scary at, game,
yeah, yeah, if you look at the tarot and its like origins, you're like, oh, these were the original, like. New Agers.
Totally.
They just took whatever they wanted from Egyptian culture, from Jewish culture.
Yeah, because it's kind of Kabbalistic.
They vibed
right?
it out.
It is so odd the way they work with Kabbalistic like theories and words and the Tree of Life. And you're like, why are you changing the meaning? You know, it's very strange.
I kind of tripped out on like, I know a bit about Kabbalah. And but I had no idea about like the medieval kind of non-Jewish Christian Kabbalah.
Ugh, man,
that shit had me. That was like that shit is look what it is, up. People. Like, I mean, it's just it's a completely.
They just like the Jewish ideas, but they hate the Jews.
Kind of. Yeah,
it's like tale is all
the time. It's medieval Kabbalah. It's like it's just like a way to take these kinds of like.
Yeah. Just take what you like.
Structures and symbols and things and make it into this other thing.
But don't have the
Jews. All the people are like, oh God, is tarot, this is going to, I'm going to say another stupid thing.
Wait, is tarot anti-Semitic?
The
card, the Four of Pentacles is often called anti-Semitic.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
What is the image on that card?
It's the one of a guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hugging the pentacle.
Yeah.
And being
trying
greedy.
To get the Jew. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Being angry.
God damn.
Yeah. Fucking, it's like Aleister Crowley and all that shit where tarot comes from.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. They're the yeah. I don't know, there's some like, they made it up some name for themselves.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But the thing is tarot works.
It's, no, it's,
by the way, it's like, if people,
spiritualists.
This is like, if people want to talk about what is anti-Semitism? This is anti-Semitic. Yeah. Like, look at this guy.
Well, they're saying that they hate that they have all the coins.
He's also like
Star David.
I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Gone.
But God they, damn. Yeah, as yeah. a system, as yeah, a technology, those cards work.
They're interesting. I've had very.
You
I
have to have a
one,
critical lens with it.
Yeah,
I've only had one really good.
We yeah, only had one, and it was many, many years.
But
we
were all drunk.
But it was really.
You were drunk.
We were drunk, and it was emotional.
We were in Bushwick. Let's just say we were in Bushwick.
We were in Bushwick, but.
And it was 2016 or whatever.
Yeah. The astrological info of that event.
Do I actually remember? Do I remember any of it?
I remember. I remember certain things from the. I was touched by it, even if it was like, you know, you just take what you want from it. But it's like this person who the person who did it did not know me very well. But certain interpretations that she had of the cards that she pulled for me were poignant. Like it just they just kind of were.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, it was really it was interesting. Like, yeah, I found it very interesting.
I use it like on tour.
You have you like it?
Yeah,
you know?
I totally get it.
No shade
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I pull cards as like I used to do.
Well, don't
it
you have it? Do you have a deck?
Oh, our own deck. We've got like a little affirmation deck. We're gonna come out. We have tarot in the app, in the Chani app. There's a tarot card for each week. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
If you go to the week, you go to today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
get your own horoscope and the meditation of the day, and then if you go to this week, we've created cards, and then we give a description of why we chose that. So the like later when once tarot was devised, once it was created, it's related. There's this also this system called the Deccans, which is like an ancient Egyptian system of taking.
I like the name.
Each 10 degrees. Deccans are faces.
Okay.
Mm. Each 10 degrees of every 30 degrees sign and assigning it different values. So.
You lost me.
Okay. So if you're.
We're bad at math.
Each sign is
good,
30 degrees.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
30 degrees.
Okay.
Per sign, because there's 12.
Yes.
So it's 360. It's a circle.
Yeah. Yes. Totally.
Wow.
There we go. Got it.
I'm loving it. I'm learning.
So within each 30 degree sign, so Aries is 30 degrees.
Yeah.
The first 10 degrees of Aries means something. The next 10 degrees means a slightly different thing. And the last 10 degrees means a slightly different thing within this system.
Oh, is this the thing system. With like the mutable?
No.
Okay.
No,
never mind. I
the
didn't think
signs
it was.
Are then divided in mutable, fixed, or cardinal.
Okay,
which is its own thing.
That's like its own in thirds.
Well,
too many terms.
I know. I'm sorry.
The cardinal.
Like right now, we're about.
I'm like, we're gonna need you to come back about five more times.
The sun is about to enter Aries.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's about to be a new season.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to be spring because the equinox.
Okay.
Yes. That aligns with the sign going to the tropical sign of Aries.
Okay.
Not the sidereal, the tropical.
Yes.
Because it is a new season right now.
Yeah.
And that is a cardinal sign because cardinal signs initiate things.
Yeah.
They change things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Okay.
And then the next sign that comes after that steadies it. It sinks us into that season. That's a fixed sign.
Okay.
The season after fixed signs are mutable signs because they let go of one season and they start to get ready for the next season, but they're not fully there.
They're
so they're like wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Okay. Like air or water typically or not
every
really?
Element is within each
cycles.
Of those.
Oh, okay.
Each of those modalities.
Yeah.
But it's like where you are.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's like it's another thing you can learn about.
No,
it's another thing you could learn about, like your
no!
signs.
I see Joe's mic level.
We should have gotten. We needed a handbook. I need a glossary.
Also, we don't have to talk about any of this.
No, it's fine. I like to know.
It's just too
but
much.
But there's a tarot card related to each decan of each sign.
Yeah,
got
I
it.
Did this. Yes, the decan.
Katie did this. She opened it.
But that is
it's
a little
too
bit.
Too many ways to slice the pie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or to get really specific.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Wait, I want to do more and more. I want to do a big left turn away from this for a second.
Okay.
And all the knowledge will stay with me.
But go ahead.
On Gaotic, it's traditional for us to ask our guests if they have a...
traditional is hilarious. But.
It is traditional. We don't always get to it because we're not good podcasters.
But no, we're negative podcasters.
No, that's a lie. We are good at this. Yeah. we ask about an early memory... Mm-hmm. Of
a root.
Possibly like recognizing that you were queer.
Yeah.
It can be something that like for me that was very connected to like the gay shame of it all. And I was like, Barry.
But for some people, it's connected to pop culture. Sexy. Like, oh my God, who's that person? And then you're like, oh, wow. Or like your perspective
Or it could be something that you didn't realize at the time was very gay. Yeah. And then like looking back on it, you're like, I was a little root.
Yeah.
Gay guy.
Well, I was lucky enough to grow up with some like biker dykes.
Cool.
Chaka. So
my,
absolutely. Wow.
My best friend's mom
cool.
was. And sick. So I just like... super like dykey relationships and women were just part of my everyday life.
Yeah. Totally.
So her and I used to make out, and then my
you and your friend's mom?
No,
I knew what she was talking about.
Thank you.
You and your friend?
Yeah, me and my friend, but like who didn't make out with their friend?
Yeah.
So that's just that's not necessarily whatever. That's just a thing you do.
Yeah. I wish I had done it more.
But then my stepsister, who was older, caught us one day or something, and she was like, "That's lesbian." And then my aunt also heard about it, and like there was like a level of gay shame, but it was also I was also kind of like whatever because. This my best friend's mom was gay, and
you knew it was possible.
Yeah, she had all these girlfriends, and I like knew all of them, and they all hung out and like literally had motorcycles and drank beer, and so they were just they were my community. So
where are you from?
A tiny little town called Nelson, British Columbia.
Whoa!
Oh, cool.
In Canada,
BC is gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, it's out of control.
Have you guys played a lot?
We've played only Vancouver, but it's like so
beautiful. Interior is really it's weird and beautiful. And then when I got older, like my another stepmom that I had, her business partner was lesbian and all of her best friends were gay. So I had like really great access to community very young.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so I don't know when this thought occurred, but I just always had this thought that I was like, I'm going to have a girlfriend when I'm 60.
Yeah.
Just like, when I get there, I'll be free of patriarchy and then I'll be able to like do this thing. And I remember then I got to like 19. I was like, I don't think I have to wait till I'm 60. But I had lots of crushes before that. One of my uncle's girlfriends was just like, I thought the most, she wore these amazing bell bottoms and she had this like feathered hair. I don't know.
Just a babe. Yeah.
You know, like I was just in love with a lot of women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who hasn't been?
You know?
Who ain't?
Yeah.
Did you ever have boyfriends?
Yeah. I had lots of boyfriends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved them too.
Totally.
I think it was biological.
It completely makes sense. Also, just like when you're
You're like horny.
And like attention is nice. And
you're
like,
so horny. You're so horny. They're so horny.
Yeah.
And you it's just, like, it's what's expected. But also, I think it like, again, like now I'm like past those years and like there's not a fiber in me that could be in a heterosexual relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like sex is one thing, but like to be in a relationship, like there's just no part of me. So I really do feel like there was some sort of biological trickery happening.
I've talked to some friends who are like, who've had similar experiences of just like, there was nothing like mechanically wrong.
Yeah.
With like, you know, it's like that aspect was okay and fine. Yeah. And then it's just,
good even.
Good for some.
Yeah. There were times that were good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, but it's just not that simple. It's like, yeah, when you come down to talk about like partnering, if that's what you want, like,
oh my God, I was always
can be in love.
Yes.
You can be have been in love with men, have enjoyed sex with men and be gay.
Very
freedom
you too.
For all of you watching.
You too could
I
be
just
gay.
Freed you guys. Yeah,
but you see that a lot, especially with older women, right?
Totally.
Once they've had their kids and they've been married, and they're
absolutely.
I will murder him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I need to get out of this.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That isn't the worst thing I've ever heard.
I know. I mean, it's just like
feel bad for so many women.
We're very lucky to live in the time that we.
Yeah, women that are hardcore straight. Like
I know, and they
no
hate
choice.
Their husbands, and their husbands hate them.
Or they have to date.
I
and
don't
they
even...
hate being straight.
I know,
and they hate
it.
Being straight, but they are condemned.
It's brutal.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's really because society hasn't like changed enough for men to have to grapple with their own all the stuff.
I know their own gender, even like
Just the, so it's rough out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God. I just feel so grateful.
Yeah. So did you have your first girlfriend then at what, 19?
Yes, my first girlfriend was at 19. I made out with people before. You know, you get drunk enough and
settle down.
Totally.
I
had my first girlfriend. Yeah, at 19, I was traveling, and that was my first girlfriend. Then I got back. And then I went to like basically like a college like feminism 101 program where we all started with long hair and then we all left with a buzz cut.
Oh my God.
Totally. Girlfriends.
Yes.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Where's
you
that?
Know where you have to go.
Canada.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense. A lot of nice things are up there.
Yeah.
It seems like there's lots of good like lesbian campgrounds in Canada.
Mm.
Like I just feel like, I don't know why I said the word campground.
Yeah, I was like, what?
What did you mean by that?
I meant like.
You mean enclaves? What did you
what did
mean?
I mean by that? Like little
pockets.
Petri dishes developing lesbians.
I thought you meant actual lesbian
campgrounds.
I was like, wow, I missed that.
That would be nice, too.
Well, they're just
to be
slightly...
I would be down for that.
Obviously, Canada, you know, suffers from the same amount, similar amounts
they're
of, like...
more granola.
You know, structural oppressions.
Oh, yeah.
But the dogmatic, like, Christianity, I feel like, that we have in the States is so much more pervasive. Like,
it's different.
It's
there's a violence here.
Yes.
That is, there's different, it's different. It's, the United States is so much more concentrated in everything.
Yep.
You have to understand, there's as many people in Canada, which is the second largest country in the world, as there is in California.
Yeah.
So
just spread out.
Not a lot of, you know, like, the more people, the more problems, right? America is just like full of motherfuckers.
It's just,
there's just
that's
so
really wild.
It's motherfucker nation.
People.
It's too big.
It's too big. There's too many differing needs.
Totally. Yeah.
There's too much going on.
There is too much going on.
One time.
Too much history over a large expanse of space with too many people. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And
it's
just
not,
like,
it doesn't work.
No one's reckoned with anything.
Not
everything. Everything is just like, we're just trying to build on heaps of toxic trash.
Yeah,
absolutely. Instead of like composting it and sorting through things and like actually.
They're just trying to forget about
everything.
Genocides.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And fund other ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, straight up.
Jesus Christ. I was just going to say, every time you say composting in an astrology of the week ahead, I jizz. I love it. I love it.
These are two composters, so.
I mean, I just think it's the
everyone in Los Angeles
it's the
should
best
be
metaphor.
Everyone everywhere.
Everyone everywhere.
We have the green bins.
Literally and metaphorically.
Yeah, you can throw compost in them now. But if you don't want rats at your house. Yeah. Yeah. Then you there's also this place called Compost LA.
Yes.
For a very small fee, you can put it in your freezer. And then they'll pick it up once a week.
Oh, cool. They'll
come
to you.
There's also dumps.
They'll
come to you.
I thought they'll you had to go to the farmer's market.
No, you don't have to pay like a small fee.
This is huge. I'm going to actually start doing this.
Yes. Wow.
Well, I'm going to make this. I'm going to make my girlfriend start.
Kate doesn't have green bins. She should.
She does. She didn't for a while, but she has green bins.
She can throw the compost there. And also every like neighborhood in LA has places you can drop it off to.
Yeah, but also you could keep it in your fridge.
Yeah, I have a compost in my backyard.
We're backyardigans.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I keep fucking this.
Okay. Do we want to look at Chart?
You want to tell us about us?
See, I'm honestly horrified.
Have you ever looked at anything?
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know.
I'm excited.
I mean, I think it's just like, aware. You know.
I like to start that way.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, I don't. I'm maybe not horrified. I'm curious.
Also, you know who's gonna nervous? This is the fans have probably already tried to do this for us, so we're giving it.
And I mean,
we're
giving it to
you. How much do you want to give everybody?
If there's stuff that
just
needs
give
to be,
us everything, give us everything. And we'll edit it out.
Gaotic is a production of HeadGum.
Created and hosted by us, the members of the band Muna.
Our executive producer is Anya Konovskaya.
Our producer is Ali Khan.
And our editor is Rochelle Chen.
If you want to look at us do this podcast, you can now watch every episode of this show on our YouTube.
And if you want to prove that you love us, follow us on social media at Where Is Muna on most, if not everything, and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
You can give us topics to rank during our new segment, That's Rank. And keep leaving reviews. We might even review your review on the next show.
Meet you right back here next week with a new episode. Bye!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.